Believe in yourself. This is Dr. Herbert L. Byerly, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with The Absolute Philosopher. Believe in yourself. So many of us, we go around in our life believing in others, thinking about others, and thinking that others would have an edge on everything and that they can accomplish stuff that we can't accomplish. And we think to ourselves, gee, wouldn't it be wonderful if we could accomplish the things that other people could accomplish? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could do the things other people could do? Wouldn't it be wonderful if we lived our life in such a way that it was as magnificent as somebody else's life? Comparison is one of our most deadly enemies. To compare ourselves with anybody else in this entire world is a misnomer. It's incorrect. It leads us nowhere. Because we do not have the background that each other person has. We do not have the desires, the dreams, the goals, the aspirations that others have. We are not others. We are ourselves. And our biggest difficulty then is to figure out who we are. Who is it that is myself? Who is it that I believe in? When I say I believe in myself, who is it that I believe in? Very interestingly, we had a table talk this noon around the monastery table. And as we were talking, I threw out a couple of statements that I make so often. And I say, who is the creator of your world? Who are you? Where are you from? What is your name? Ellen, what is your name? Ellen, what is your name? And she wouldn't say Ellen Jeremini. And I said to the others, I said, who are you? And then I said, who are you? And finally someone said, I'm God. God I am. You are God? What makes you think that you're so fantastic to be God? Well, I am God as me. I am expressing all of God that I conceive myself to be and that I conceive God to be, and I live in that awareness. Well, why is it took you so long to say this? We have our three-hour meditation, and for, 10 years at least, we have said during the three-hour meditation, or longer than that, I am God, God I am. And why can I say I am God? And then listen, the third hour, listen to the divine God in you, speaking to you, telling you what it thinks about you and what it thinks and what it is. And we did this for years and years and years and years and years. And then for me to ask the question at the lunch table today, and not to have the answer immediately said, I am God, God I am. I almost fell over. I thought, oh, how true that is. When I say to you, 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4, and you say that, and you say that, and you say that, and you get sick and tired of saying it. But you say it because your teachers tell you to say it, your friends tell you to say it, and everybody else says it. And 2 times 2 is 4, 2 times 2 is 4. And you say it again and again and again. And pretty soon, you don't even think about it, but you believe it, and it becomes part of your nature, and you become a mathematician because you have placed into your consciousness the foundation idea of math. Now, the foundation idea of who we are, the foundation idea of saying that I am God, God I am, I am the creator of my world, I am the totality of my world, I am the allness of my world, we can't believe that. We look at our life and we say, what a mess. We look at our experiences and we say, wow, there's so much to be done. There's so much to be improved. We look at all the world around us and we say, yuck, yuck, yuck. Well, my friend, as a child, you were smart enough or dumb enough that you didn't look around and compare yourself to others in math. You just said 2 times 2 is 4, and you said that, and you said that, and you said that, and little by little it became yours. And today you have no difficulty with math. Perhaps it's not your favorite subject, because you haven't fallen in love with it, but you can do your math. You can do your sums, you can do your multiplications, divisions, and subtractions, and all these other things. You can do them quite well, because you taught yourself 2 times 2 is 4. You taught yourself that is what it is, and you had no trouble with it whatsoever. You were able to do it very easily. So, late in life, I get after you and I teach you, I am God, God I am, I am God, God I am. And I have you say it again and again and again and again and again. But your logical, reasonable mind says to you, God is the creator of the universe. Did I create the universe? God is the creator of me. Did I create me? God is the creator of everything that exists, and God is in everything that it created. God is as everything that it created. Everything that is that has been created, God is, and I am created, and God is me. And, well, you see, forget the damn logic. You're not going to make yourself believe that you're God. You cannot make yourself believe that you're God, because it's too grand. It's too marvelous. It's too big. It's too important. It's too outstanding a topic for you to conceive at one moment, in 100 moments, or in a lifetime. You'll never conceive that. But, like the law of mathematics, you say 2 times 2 is 4, and then you use the principle. When you say, I am God, God I am, you use the principle. And then your inner awareness uses that principle, stands by that principle, applies that principle, and is that principle. And the principle is you. And then you do everything in your life, everything in your thinking that reflects that I am God, God I am. It reflects who you are. And there's no way in hell that you're going to be able to figure out that you're God. No way. There's no way. No way you can prove it to yourself. You just have to make the affirmation again and again and again. You have a problem with your body, and it's sick. And you say, I'm whole and perfect. I'm whole and perfect. That's contrary to the truth. That's contrary to realistic thinking. It goes against all your judgment. But you don't let it bother you. You just say, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole and perfect, I'm whole. Because you know that when you talk silly, when you talk that way, and you just are flippant about it, and you just put that cause in motion, that wholeness and perfection which you eternally always were and are, shines forth. It comes out. It's revealed. It shines out of your world, out of your life, out of your body. And indeed, you are whole and perfect. When we deal as a practitioner with anyone, and we don't know them, and they call and they say, treat for me, I would like to have better health. We don't say, what is your problem? We don't care. We treat for them, and we see them experiencing perfect health right now, and we have no image in our mind of their problem. We have no image in our mind of what they want to experience except perfect health, and we don't even know what that is. But we say the perfect health idea. And the people call back and say, wow, shazam, I'm whole and perfect, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you. Not too many call because they forget about it. They are whole and perfect, and then they go on with their life. But if you do call, and they say that, and some people I work with personally on the practitioner basis, and they talk to me, and they say, oh, by the way, I'm whole and perfect. I say, well, what else is new? How wonderful. You see, this is the great thing about this. We're dealing with a principle. We don't have to understand the principle. Do you understand the principle of the universe, how all the stars stay in place? Do you understand the principle of gravity? Do you understand the principle of mathematics? Do you understand any of these principles? We don't. We don't. Surely we don't. And then we argue about it. And the best way to apply any principle is just to apply it. I say, hey, you got the touch of a great musician in you. And you say, boy, don't I wish. Well, when you sing, when you talk, when you think, and you just sort of think musically. Well, I would like music, but I just, you know. Okay, now, you follow my instruction. Every day for 1 hour, you sit at the piano and you do the lesson that I give you. And you do it and you practice just 1 hour. But you have nothing else on your mind, nothing else to do except for that 1 hour. If necessary, come over here and practice on my piano for that 1 hour, every day. And so, with diligence, you do that. You come over and you practice, and I move you from one lesson to the next, and I move you from another lesson into another lesson. And pretty soon, a year has passed, and you are playing very nicely. And you say, I really am running out of time. I don't have time to come over here every day. And I say, well, do you want to be a musician? Yes, yes. Well, then make the time. You come over here or do it at home. But if coming here makes it all the better for you, you do that. But practice, practice, practice. And so after the second year, you are fabulous. You have gained a certain skill in the fundamentals of music. And then you have gained another skill, which sort of came surreptitiously. And that skill is the idea of loving music. And so you put your soul in the music. You put your heart in the music as you play it, not just mechanically, but with heart and soul. And perhaps the composer of the music had never dreamed of expressing his music in just that way. But it's your music now. You're playing the music, and you're giving it the jazz. You're giving it the rhythm. You're giving it the roll. You're giving it the smoothness. You're giving it the allness, and you are the magical one. And only 2 years before, you would never have dreamed that now you are a magician. Now you are playing with soul, with magic. Now you are wonderful. Oh, goodness. Believe in yourself. Believe in yourself and watch the magic, watch the wonder, watch the excitement of life. Stand by you as you do what you are meant to do. Now, my friends, I don't give up on people. I don't give up on the principle. I am a teacher. I'm a sharer. My whole life is just sharing and teaching. And those who would like to accomplish a goal will accomplish it. One young man called me today, and he's in prison. And he has a young lady that he has been a mentor to, and she's now 18. And he's been a friend of hers over the years, all of her life, in fact. And he's been helping her think her way through life. Well, the young lady now wants to possibly spread her wings, and he thinks that she would like to come here to the monastery. And I told her, she doesn't know our philosophy. She doesn't know what we teach. She doesn't know who we are. I said, have her come and visit for a day and see if we are anything that she wants to be. Have her take our courses. If she wants the courses, if that is her type of thing. He said, oh, but she's so wonderful. She's this. I said, you don't know. She is a grand lady. She is a grand girl. But she has to make her decision. Because here at the monastery, we don't go out shopping all the time. We don't go into town. We don't have friends. We don't have playtime. We don't do a lot of other things. But we do a lot of introspection. We do a lot of study. We do a lot of prayer. We do a lot of meditation. We do a lot of joyful beingness. Yes. You see, people think, because I make it sound so easy, that walking the spiritual path is just a walk in the park. Well, for me it is that. But for somebody else, this dedication, just listening to these students that I've had for 30 years here, and I come up with the statement, who are you? And they could not say immediately, I am God. I think, I'm a failure. Well, I'm not a failure, because I don't care whether they get it or not. I know who they are, and I know that they're divine and they're God. But I also know that walking in the spiritual path takes a demand that no human being can ever handle. Because once you choose to walk the spiritual path, you lay aside all your human attitudes. You lay aside doubt. You lay aside hatred. You lay aside judgment. You lay aside all of those things that are limiting to you. And you become one-pointed, untouched, non-possessed, no judgment. Your self-discipline is magnificence. Your self-dedication is utterly a faith. Your self-determination and self-diligence are without imagination. you are the most magical being on earth when you have chosen to walk your path and given it 100% of your attention, and stop feeling sorry for yourself because you don't have what others have. If you want what others have, then go out and enjoy it. But if you want what the monastery has to give, if you want the walk that this has to give, then be ready. Because it's not a matter that you come here and that you just enjoy the beautiful vibrations and the beautiful attitudes and me constantly being on your back of sharing love and right direction with you. But it's you giving 100% of yourself to the direction you want to go. And if you don't choose to do that, you will not last long here, because you will feel totally out of place. And when you come here and you want to feel in place, then you leave the past and live in the now. You leave yesterday, you leave all of the things that a human wants to have, and you live in the element of what a divine being is. A divine being is one-pointed, untouched, non-possessive, non-judgmental, unconditionally loving. Are you unconditionally loving? Yes, you are, because you're in my world. But do you know it? That's for you to find out now. Ah, yes, life is wonderful, isn't it? I have more fun than a barrel of monkeys. And I am the barrel, and I am the monkeys, and I am life. Have a wonderful day, and know that in every possible way, I love you. I love you. I love you.